You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Americans for Truth about homosexuality is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, genderqueer. That's another term that's come out that we're going to talk about. All these aberrant lifestyles, which are gaining power and credibility in the culture, well, mostly because the media is promoting them just nonstop now with very little accountability. But we're excited today, and I'm real excited about this. We're pre-taping, and we're taping on the February 23rd, a couple shows, possibly more if I can get her, with Amy Contrada, who's the author of a new book called Mitt Romney's Deception, His Stealth Promotion of Gay Rights and Gay Marriage in Massachusetts. Now, as you know, most of the listeners, Americans for Truth is a nonprofit organization. We are nonpartisan. We are not even, you know, we don't even cut the Republicans any slack. So this is not about favoring candidates other than Romney. This is what these shows are going to be about is setting the scene for what has transpired in Massachusetts. And, Amy is works with Brian Kammacher, who we've interviewed here before, who's the founder of Mass Resistance. Amy works for Mass Resistance. Amy, are you on the line?
I am. Hi.
Hey, and good morning. We're taping in the morning on the 23rd, and this is going to be airing in early March, probably the first three Saturdays of March, Amy. So if I can get you for a third show, because I'm going to be out of town for a while, so we have to do these in advance. But, it is really an incredible story, and you are to be commended because you have written a book. I'm looking, how many pages is your book? 600 and...
Well, 640. That includes a lot of footnotes.
Yeah, because you are a thorough person, and you didn't want to write schlock. And so basically you wrote this incredible book, which, folks, even if you are pro-Romney in the Republican presidential primary, if you care about family values and how homosexuality and gender deviancy and radical sexual agendas are being promoted across the United States, you need to read your book, Amy, because you've got it. This thing details it. In the process of covering Romney, you've exposed this incredibly radical network and pro-homosexual promotion in your state.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to do is document a lot of this before it disappeared. So I saved a lot of paper records, stuff that's no longer online. And, you know, I knew where the stuff was online. And if you save the URLs, you can always go back to the Wayback Machine and try to uncover things that everyone's forgotten about. So that was one of the goals. You know, the larger goal here is I think this kind of book and kind of documentation should be done on every candidate. It just so happened that I lived in Massachusetts and I was living this nightmare of the gay marriage issue here and what was happening to my kids in the school. So this is where I happen to be, and that's why my focus was on Romney.
And, you know, Amy, I've been active with Brian and following what's going on in Massachusetts a long way back. I was looking at the old Lambda reports. Lambda Report is the precursor to Americans for Truth. It was just a printed newsletter. And, you know, Boston was a hub and remains a hub of the homosexual lobby and, by the way, the pedophile lobby. NAMBLA had activities in Boston. There was, I was writing about the promotion of pedophilia in your fine city there, Boston, way, way back in the in the early 90s, you know?
Well, I also have gone back and found some of your articles, I think, in the mid-90s. I think you were present at the very first Youth Pride Parade sponsored by the Governor's Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth, which Mitt Romney inherited and continued to support. And I think that was like 96 or 97 that you were on the scene. And so it's great to read that stuff. I mean, you were paying attention and on the ground before I even knew this stuff was happening.
Yeah, we were covering it way back. And, you know, I think I would still be shocked, but it was shocking to see young people out there marching for homosexuality. And yes, we're politically incorrect here. We believe that homosexual behavior is wrong. It's destructive. It's very unhealthy. But Amy, you know, in the process, in the course of these interviews, I want to talk about also the incredible radical gender promotion. I mean, looking through your book, and folks, again, this book is called Mitt Romney's Deception, His Stealth Promotion of Gay Rights and Gay Marriage in Massachusetts by Amy Contrada. You can get it at amycontrada.com. That's A-M-Y CONTRADA.com. And I'm just going to urge all the people who follow Americans for Truth and who care about the truth on this issue, get this book. It is an encyclopedia about the aspects of the promotion of homosexuality that the media do not report, that gay activists don't want you to know. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about what has happened in your state. This incredibly radical gender radicalism, where it doesn't, you know, girls trying to be boys. Actually, you've had, on the Mass Resistance website, there's a picture of a girl who wants to be a man, and she had her healthy breasts removed, and she's walking down the street with her chest showing.
It's worse, Pete. You probably have seen the stories. There was a national news story on Yahoo News just a few days ago. Boston Children's Hospital actually has a gender clinic for young people pre-puberty, and they're giving them puberty-blocking hormones at the Children's Hospital clinic so that it's easier for them to transition to the other sex or gender later. I mean, it's just shocking, and they continue to get away with it.
Now, to tell us, I mean, you might not be an expert on this, but how did that come to be that Boston's Children's Hospital would become this mecca of radical transgender theory? I mean, tell us about that.
I'm not sure I know why it happened. I know that, you know, there truly are a very small number of children born with, I guess it's not clear whether they're male or female, but that intersex category is so infinitesimal. So, you know, there is a legitimate
We're not talking about those guys, though.
I think the same people who were involved in that legitimate medical issue somehow veered off with all of this crazy gender theory, and I don't know. I cannot explain it, but you're absolutely correct that there are two centers of this. One is Massachusetts. One is California. Now, of course, we know that San Francisco is big for the gay lifestyle thing going on out there, but also in Los Angeles. That's the other children's gender clinic in America is in Los Angeles. So it's like, I can't tell you what the genesis of it is.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, we interviewed Walt Heyer, who is a man who actually had the so-called sex change operation. He emphasizes over and over again that you can't really change your sex. You know, he recalled in his book about how the Johns Hopkins took down, they ended their whole sex change.
That's right. And yet it's going on here in Boston, the Children's World Famous Children's Hospital. I cannot explain it. Let me just tell you one other quick thing before we go on, and that is my book. I've taken two large excerpts from the print edition and made e-books out of them, which is also prominent on my website.
What are those called?
One is called Romney versus Family Values, and it focuses primarily on what went on in the schools with his Governor's Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth and the Youth Pride.
And how much is that?
$4.95. Now, the point is people can read that on any computer. It doesn't mean you have to have a Kindle just because it's called a Kindle book. You can read it on any computer or iPad with a free reading app at Amazon. So for $4.95, you get it immediately on your computer. Now, the reason I'm recommending that is because there are a lot of photographs, color photographs, in the edition. In the book, it's black and white photos, but I've got many more photographs in the e-books.
What's the second e-book?
The second one is How Gay Marriage Came to Massachusetts, Governor Mitt Romney's Failure in a Constitutional Crisis. So that's How Gay Marriage Came to Massachusetts. And if you just type in my name at Amazon, it'll pull those up as well.
Okay.
And you can try to. But the photographs really bring alive what you're talking about here with the children.
Well, absolutely. And I think that what I want to emphasize is that you don't know the homosexual agenda unless you've studied what's gone on in Massachusetts. And there's no better group to do it than Mass Resistance with Brian Kammacher and Amy Contrada. And Amy, you're a volunteer over there, is that right?
Well, I occasionally make a little buck here and there, but yeah, pretty much.
You've given a lot of your life to exposing this.
This is my donation to charity, which will go unnoticed on my IRS. Okay.
Well, somebody up big in the big guy upstairs is noticing what you're doing, and you know, folks. Again, the homosexual movement. I think it's one of the biggest hoaxes that's ever been perpetrated on the American people. I mean, the veneer. It's like a rotten piece of furniture that's rotten to the core, and you throw this nice veneer on. That's what we're talking about. You know, you look at everywhere you go. The latest example I'm thinking of is that Paul Bebeau, the guy who was tough on border security in Arizona.
By the way,
is he? Well, he was molested by a priest. And maybe perhaps he was molested by a priest because there were forces who were normalizing pedophilia in Boston. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, and yet he calls himself gay. And why? That's not normal. If you are molested, you are the victim of a sexual predator. That's not the basis for a healthy identity. That's the basis for a false identity, for a troubled identity.
He certainly wasn't born that way.
Yeah.
He had that horrible experience.
Well, we got 45 seconds here. Let's tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, before we go to the next segment.
Well, I think one reason I got involved in this work was because I originally had our older child was in the Lexington, Massachusetts public school system, and that woke me up to how crazy things were. I mean, I thought we'd move to a town where we had great schools. That was certainly not true. I first realized that when we were dealing with just spelling and arithmetic, but then all these other crazy things started happening too. So that sort of began my political involvement along with local taxation issues.
Yeah. And you're an activist at heart, and but you're also a researcher and a darn good one. And this book is really thorough. All these books by Amy Contrada. Again, you can get her e-books and the big book, Mitt Romney's Deception, at amycontrada.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Amy Contrada, who's a good friend. She's a great researcher. She's really an asset to the pro-family movement, and I think she's a truth hero in this country, and there's so few people who are willing to take on the homosexual lobby. Amy has done it. She's done it very well. She works with Brian Kammerker, my good friend in Mass Resistance, that we have interviewed. And we've actually interviewed you before, Amy, but only a quick hitter. Okay, now let's set the table for Romney here. Who did he succeed? Was it Salucci he succeeded?
Well, Salucci gave up to become ambassador to Canada, at which point Jane Swift, another Rhino Republican, became acting governor for 2 years.
Okay, now when we say Rhino Republican, now this is the shot at the liberal Republicans. It means Republican in name only.
Well, yes. Generally, they tend to be fiscally conservative, but not good on the family values that we're talking about.
Yeah, and the moderate Republicans are just oftentimes they do more damage because they give a veneer of respectability to a liberal cause is what happens. So Governor Salucci was a Democrat. Before him was Weld, right?
Yes.
Now, Weld was another liberal Republican who was pro-homosexual, correct?
Yes. And he is the governor who began the Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth. He had taken a lot of support from the so-called log cabin Republicans, and that was back in the early 90s. And in return, he gave them a lot of what they wanted, some of their radical demands, especially in the schools, and started that commission, which eventually involved the youth pride events.
So the log cabin Republicans, you know, people think, oh, they're just conservative Republicans who happen to be gay. And yet here, beginning even before Romney, Governor Weld, who was a Republican, William Weld, he started this commission on gay and lesbian youth after being supported by the log cabins. And so basically what the log cabins are is they're gay activists, homosexual activists under the rubric of Republicanism. But a lot of the policies they supported are every bit as radical as other homosexual activists.
Right. And some of the people who began the Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth were members of ACT UP. And who was one of the most famous of those guys? Kevin Jennings, who was the founder of GLSEN. Now, Kevin Jennings was...
What is GLSEN?
Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. It started out with a slightly different name, but it's been the main vehicle for getting this stuff into the schools under the excuse of safe schools. And then Kevin Jennings, everybody might recognize that name because he more recently became Obama's so-called safe school czar for a couple of years. But at any rate, Kevin Jennings got his start in Massachusetts. He was a teacher at the private Concord Academy High School and started one of the first gay clubs in the high schools in Massachusetts at
that
time.
Well, gosh, you guys, Massachusetts has just contributed. You've contributed so much to America.
That's right.
You gave us Kevin Jennings. What a great guy.
So Kevin Jennings was the guy who wrote the education report for the Governor's Commission in 92 to 93, and it's the blueprint for this stuff that's happened all over the country.
Yeah, they used suicides. They exploited the suicide issue. They exaggerated the number of suicides. They said that 30% of all suicides were gay youth, and they used that issue.
The only paper in existence which explodes that myth.
Well, I think other people have since, but yeah, we tackled that because it was based on bad math, and you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's there's Weld started it all, ironically, as a Republican. Salucci takes over this. What is the Gay and Lesbian Commission? What's the budget? How did the budget go?
Well, under Salucci, who was the successor to Weld, it had the highest level of funding at about $1.6 million at one point. Then under Romney, it came down to this sort of $250,000 level, and the only time it was reduced was with a lot of pressure from our parents' group and mass resistance.
So you're saying that Mitt Romney did not, as governor,
not eliminate it. One of the things we tried to get was to have him eliminate the commission and the youth pride events, and we actually went in and had a long meeting with one of his top aides, Peter Flaherty, in 2006, showed him a lot of these shocking photographs, many of which are in my book, and that man seemed quite taken aback. Romney did one of his infamous flip-flops. For about 2 hours, the commission was disbanded. And then these crazy radicals in the legislature came in and yelled at him, and he immediately retracted. So, you know,
Wait a minute. We're taping on the 23rd, and Romney just described himself as resolute in debate I watched last night, the 22nd, CNN debate. Now, so wait a minute. We got to set the stage here because, again, one of the problems we're going to have is conveying this. And Amy, you know the drill. Nobody can understand how radical the issues we're talking about. When you say these pride events, again, we're talking about basically a homosexual pride parade for kids. These are cross-dressing kids. How young are these kids, and how radical are these?
Well, it's basically high school age. I don't think, you know, you rarely see somebody that looks junior high school age, though you'll see a few kids that young. It's basically high school kids. And the gay clubs throughout all the high schools in Massachusetts recruit, and that's through the Governor's Commission and through the Safe Schools program in the Department of Education, all sponsored and supported by Romney. They would bring the kids to the Boston Common for their festival and parade. Now, the festival is one of the worst things because it's got all these adult homosexual activists pushing all sorts of bizarre things, whether it's cross-dressing or, you know, they'll hand out pamphlets from gay health clinics with, you know, very graphic descriptions of this and that.
You have this parade.
It's a mingling opportunity for adult homosexuals, really.
And it's also an opportunity for adult homosexuals to promote, like, Leslie Feinberg. I want you to talk about her. She's a gender radical. These adult homosexuals who are basically teaching, modeling their lifestyle to these impressionable kids, so that you have this pride parade, this youth pride, gay straight youth pride parade. I've been there and watched it. It winds through the streets, and if that's not shocking enough, you've got all these schools with their banners for their gay clubs, you know, at their school. And we want to talk about that too. How the mm-hmm. Massachusetts,
but you know, it went
was
way beyond that, Peter. During Romney's administration, now Romney's claiming that he's totally for traditional marriage and opposes gay marriage and blah blah blah. Well, his very commission, which sponsored these youth pride parades, allowed mass equality and all of the groups pushing gay marriage to be part of the youth pride event, of course. So the kids are marching with banners promoting gay marriage. And this is under Romney's sponsorship. Absolutely lunatic.
So basically, this thing began. What year did the Youth Pride Commission begin?
1992 was Governor Weld's establishment.
Okay, Governor Weld starts it because the log cabin supported him, so he throws him a bone and starts this this Gay Youth Pride Commission, which starts funneling state taxpayer dollars to the promotion, the direct promotion of homosexuality, historically considered a deviant and even a taboo lifestyle, to children, impressionable children, who marched through the streets, some cross-dressing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up at a park where radical adult and radical transgender adults, radical homosexual adults, then give speeches and basically mingle and promote even more radical activity to these kids. I'm sure the parents, the average parent, has no clue what's going on.
Well, I happen to know that some parents don't know their kids are there, because I know the kids that were there whose parents didn't know.
That's
terrible. And they're transported in via their gay clubs at the schools.
Okay, so this went on. So every year, beginning in, what was it, 1996?
I think the first one, well, you were there. Was it 96 or 97?
Yeah, I have to go back in the Lamb reports.
I think it was 96, but it could have been 97.
And so they this went on, and by the way,
one of the documents I found was that back then the director of the commission was extremely open about recruiting adults to be part of the event, not as people hosting tables even, but just to come and be with the kids.
Yeah, was that David LaFontaine?
Yeah, David LaFontaine. Now, was he
an ACT UP guy too?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This is such an amazing story. Okay, but I want to just nail the timeline down. So you said the budget started out in the what, $500,000 range?
I'm not sure exactly in Weld's time, but up to $1.6 million at the time of Salucci's.
Okay, so of course the Democrats have to radicalize it further, and that was the big heyday when, and I'm sure Kevin Jennings got some of that.
Now, it was $1.6 million, Pete, when the hideous Fiskate incident happened.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Fiskate, folks. That's, of course, we got to hit that. That's all coming out of Boston, folks, all coming out of Massachusetts. We're setting the stage for the sort of environment to which Mitt Romney, over which he became governor. Now, okay, so Lucci, $1.6 million, then Jane Swift, because he went to be ambassador. Jane Swift comes in. Did she lower the funding, or was it just the same?
The funding came down, but it wasn't due to lack of commitment to the program. It was budget cuts across the board. And that was also true of Romney.
And so then Romney, it's still getting in the several hundred thousand dollars.
$250,000, and then it went down to maybe half that in his final year. But there again, he's trying to be a fiscal conservative to some extent. And that was the main reason. As I said, we tried to get him to eliminate the commission altogether, but he wouldn't.
Well, I'm just thinking, just forget the presidential election. If you're for family values, it seems you would be against taxpayer funding of a radical agenda, and that's what we're talking.
It was taxpayer funding of kids promoting gay marriage, which he claimed to be against. I mean, there's all these contradictions that are just rife in the whole business.
Yeah, and so it was never defunded. He talk about the point where he you guys met with his aide, Peter Flaherty. You showed him these pictures, the cross dressing.
Yeah, that was in 2006 in Maine. We said this event is about to happen again, and here's the crazy stuff that they planned. And he looked at it, conveyed it to the governor, and we know. It's all over in the homosexual newspaper what happened, as well as the Boston Globe. He did actually disband the commission, and the gay activist legislators, or pro-gay legislators, screamed at the governor. He immediately reversed course and said, oh, no, I won't disband the commission after all. So, no, he never disbanded it. But one of the things that happened the previous year, and we were alerting Peter Flaherty to this, the Antique Car Club was coming to give kids rides, okay? The Antique Gay Men's Car Club. And there was also the Communist Workers World editor, transgender warrior Leslie Feinberg was
okay,
there.
Okay, I forgot Leslie. I forgot Leslie Feinberg was a communist, but
awful.
Why not? After you've changed your gender, just join the commie party. What the heck? Okay, Americans for Truth will be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour, folks. We're pre-taping pretty early this time on February 23rd, before Super Tuesday. We're talking about Amy Contrada. She's got a book. It's a good book. I'm sorry I haven't read it yet, Amy. I've read lots of parts of it, but I haven't finished it. It's called Mitt Romney's Deception, His Stealth Promotion of Gay Rights and Gay Marriage in Massachusetts. I want to reiterate that Americans for Truth is nonpartisan. I want to talk about Massachusetts because unless you live there, you can't understand how radical it is. And we were laughing just a second ago about, Leslie Feinberg. She's a radical transgender communist. And she was, what did you tell me off air, Amy? She actually emceed one of these Youth Pride events.
The 2000 event, Youth Pride in Massachusetts was, that's Governor Romney's event that we tried to get him to cancel in 2006. I mean, it was just getting so out of control.
Now, wait a minute. When was Romney governor again? What years?
He began in January of 2003 through the early days of January 2007.
Okay, and when did Leslie come?
She was there in May 2005, and we have pictures of her leading the parade with the Youth Pride banner 2005. So, beautiful color photograph in my ebook, which is Romney versus Family Values.
It's hard not to laugh, folks. And yet,
what can you do at this point?
Take us back again. You and Brian, you organized this meeting in 2006. You think, hey, when was gay marriage imposed in Massachusetts?
Well, the court ruling was in November of 2003.
Right, so you've already got gay marriage,
or
so-called.
And Romney imposed it by his executive department actions in May of 2004.
Okay, we're going to do a long period on that, but let's finish with the commission. Okay, so you've already got so-called gay marriage there, begun in Massachusetts. You've got this, what would seem to be a pretty realistic goal for conservatives, even in Massachusetts, no taxpayer funding for the Gay Lesbian Youth Pride Commission, which funds radical gay youth pride parades and events, which even feature communist transgenders like Leslie Feinberg.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, so you have this meeting, you pull together some leaders, you show this Romney aide these awful pictures. Was it announced the next day that it was disbanded? Talk about this disbanding and then reinstatement. How did that all happen?
I believe it was the next day it hit the newspapers that this had gone down, but everything happened within the first day, his disbanding and immediate, reversal of course. So that was within hours.
So a little criticism from the media, from the radical, the Boston Globe.
Actually, the Boston Globe report came out later after he'd already reversed course, as I recall.
So it was just the fact that a bunch of...
It was an internal thing within the governor's office, but the governor had gone, as far as we can determine from the homosexual newspaper articles, he had actually informed the Secretary of State that he was issuing an executive order to disband the commission. Well, word got out to the director of the commission, and she marshaled her openly homosexual members of the legislature and their supporters, and they ran into the governor's office. And, and Eric Fernstrom's office is one of his other aides, and yelled at him, and that's all it took. So,
okay, what I'm thinking, I'm thinking of a lot of words to describe that, and resolute is not one of them.
No. Let me make it even worse. 2004, gay marriages started May 17th, 2004. Well, guess what happened on May 15th, 2004? The Youth Pride Parade, sponsored by Governor Romney's commission. And Governor Romney had actually issued his proclamation celebrating Youth Pride Parade, the Youth Pride event a few days earlier. So just a few days before gay marriage was to start, he's celebrating gay youth pride with this official proclamation he issued in both 2003 and 2004.
Okay. So this is what,
crazy stuff.
This is amazing. Now, what, Okay, so after, let's just finish up. So the Youth Pride Commission is still a reality, and it's still taxpayer funded.
Yes, they've taken the name Governors off, and it's an independent commission with absolutely no accountability. It can't be reined in by anyone.
Wow. And so this is another tactic. This is another tactic that leftists and liberals and of course, homosexual activists have used all across the United States. Gain taxpayer funding, get involved, penetrate commissions, get your personnel, worm your way into government, and then start gaining taxpayer funding and promoting your radicalism within government agencies. We've seen it happen in foster care agencies where homosexual activists and liberal activists are pushing homosexuals as foster parents, as adoptive parents, but they're in deep in Massachusetts, and then right before gay marriage is so-called is sort of Romney issues this order, and we want to start getting into that right now. But right before that, there was another he issues this gay youth pride proclamation. Where's the proclamation in your book, and what did he say?
I don't know what page it's in, but you can find it quickly. You can also at massresistance.org/Romney. In the Romney report, you'll see a photograph of the 2003 proclamation, and we got that from the Bay Windows newspaper. And the text, we also have a PDF of his 2004 proclamation, which is the identical wording to the 2003. Now, as far as we can tell, it appears that he recycled Governor Weld's wording. He recognized Weld as his mentor on gay issues, after all. So anyhow, He wants all of the citizens of the state to recognize this day, take cognizance of this event, and participate fittingly in its observance. Hmm. Massachusetts gay.
How does one observe? how does the typical Massachusetts citizen observe gay youth pride? I mean, do you just try to tap into your inner gay child? How do you actually observe gay youth pride?
Well, I guess it's a call to the homosexual activist adults to join the kids. I don't know what else it could be.
Are we all gay activists now, Amy? I mean, is that what the homosexual lobby wants? Are we all supposed to be? Is it kumbaya? We all need to celebrate homosexuality, yeah, because it's so wonderful.
Wave that rainbow flag. Well, anyhow,
if only the whole world was homosexual, there wouldn't be any people. But you know,
here's another funny little footnote. In 2005, Brian actually we called up. I should say Brian called the governor's office, Brian Kamiker of Mass Resistance. And he said, you better not issue another proclamation for Youth Pride, or we'll make sure the whole country knows about it. Well, of course, we've made sure the country knows about the 2003 and 4 Youth Pride proclamations. But he was grooming himself for the Republican nomination at that point in 2005. So at that point, he ceased the proclamations. He backed off on that.
But he made sure he got one in before gay marriage, you know, it was starting to be celebrated.
Now, there's actually another very serious issue here about the parents' rights in the schools that connects to the homosexual indoctrination. And that is something you might want to get into with me, which is his failure as governor to uphold the parents' rights law in Massachusetts regarding parental notification on human sexuality issues in the schools. And that's the whole famous David Parker case. We have a huge section on that on the Mass Resistance webpage. And again, Romney was in control of his Department of Education, and the law was effectively being enforced through regulations through that department that he controlled, and he could have tightened things up when the David Parker story exploded, but
okay,
he did
yeah,
not.
Give us a little background on the David Parker story.
Well, David Parker is a parent in my former hometown in Massachusetts, Lexington, very radicalized school district, and what they did with his kindergarten son was to give him a book in his diversity book bag that was called Who's in a Family, and it was a picture book showing all the different kinds of families, and guess what, you know, there's the lesbian mommies, you know, looking like just another family.
Did you say diversity book bag?
That's what it was called, the diversity book bag. So they figured because it's about families, they didn't have to give advance notification to the parents because it wasn't a human sexuality.
That's how they get around it, right? They say it was not sex.
Family issue.
It's not sex. It's talking about different kinds of families.
Exactly. So he and his wife complained. They tried to work it out with the school. He said, look, here's the parents' rights law. It says human sexuality issues. This is a human sexuality issue. They said, oh, no, no. At any rate, he essentially protested by saying, I'm not going to leave this office until we work out some sort of a, you know, understanding here, and my rights as a parent are respected. So, it was a civil disobedience sort of act on his part, and the police came, handcuffed him, took him off to jail, and then the court cases followed. Unfortunately, he lost in court, but David has said to me personally that he blames Romney for not upholding the parents' rights law. And David went to great personal expense in his lawsuits, paying for the lawyers.
David Parker's a hero. He spent over $200,000, I think, on that case.
Oh, yeah. So if you look at the massresistance.org website, down on the lower right column, you'll see the David Parker report. It's fascinating. But Romney should have had his Department of Education clarify its regulations that, yes, it did apply to this. Romney actually came out with a statement the day after Parker went to jail, or the day he went to jail, saying, yes, David Parker is within his rights. The law is on his side. And that was the end of it. He never did anything more.
So we're seeing a pattern here of sorting, like, seemingly wanting to be on the right side, or maybe knowing what the conservative side is, but not really doing much to actually help. I mean, here you have a parent. Nowhere in the United States of America should a child be given a book about homosexuality or any other aberrant lifestyle behavior or abortion or anything controversial without parents' knowledge. First of all, it shouldn't happen at all. The kids are way too young, but especially without parents knowing about it. So this child brings home his diversity book bag. Homosexual parenting is promoted to this innocent child. David Parker spoke at an Americans for Truth banquet. He was extremely eloquent. He talked about how homosexual activists want to define love to the child before church and family can ground the child in Christian or Judeo-Christian morality. That's what's at stake here.
The author of that book admits that's exactly what they're trying to do, is get to the kids before the parents have the influence.
And so Governor Romney at the time really didn't do much to help David Parker at all.
Didn't do anything.
Sort of AWOL. We're talking to Amy Contrada. Her website is Amy Contrada. That's CONTRADA.com. You're going to want to visit this website and buy stuff. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. This is a great job. I get to talk to all these heroes, these pro-family warriors like Amy Contrada. She's just an outstanding writer, researcher. Amy is also a very good person. I've gotten the privilege of knowing her and Brian Kamiker, basically all these people all over the country. That's the best thing about being in pro-life and pro-family work. You meet the best people in America, folks, so get involved. But I want you to go to Amy, even if you're a gay activist listening to the show, you got to buy Amy Contrada's book, don't you? Because you have to know what the opposition's saying about you. So buy the book.
One of the sources I go to the most is Bay Windows, after all. That's the homosexual newspaper.
Yes.
So.
Well, the homosexuals, at least they understand that there is another side. The mainstream, so-called, or as Sarah Palin calls it, and others, the lamestream media, pretends there is no other side to homosexuality, which is why you see all this wonderful stuff on mass resistance that never makes it into, the Boston Globe or other places. You see this. It really is an amazing story. The homosexual, the mainstreaming of homosexual behavior through institutions promoted to young people, promoted as a healthy lifestyle, even though there's all these diseases that are disproportionately represented with and linked to homosexual behavior. It is one of the biggest stories, I think, that's ever happened in this country. And yet now the media, it's like, ho-hum, yeah, we're pro-gay now, and, you know, get out of here. And then you have the Southern Poverty Law Center, these leftists, you know, naming groups like mine. And I believe Mass Resistance is...
Oh, yes, we're a proud member of that list.
Because I can just hear the hate. The hate is coming over the radio line, Amy. I could just tell you are so hateful. These people are just, they are propagandists of the highest order. And propaganda works by promoting a fake view of things and then hiding the real stuff. But you guys have been diligent about documenting the real stuff. Now, we have only three shows to do, it looks like, so we have a lot to do. Finish up on David Parker. So again, David Parker, this parent who was fighting for the whole country, basically, his case went all the way to federal court and he lost. He was defending the right of parents to know about these. All he wanted was to be told. He didn't even want the programs taken out of the schools, right?
Well, the law says that the parents have to be notified, and then they have the option to opt their kid out.
Okay.
So
now, wouldn't the average
notification and then be able to opt out? But in fact, what had happened is they just gave the kid the book, and they had no clue it was coming, and they weren't able to.
Here's what I'm not getting, Amy. The average I don't think it's a stretch to say that the typical Republican politician would sort of relish wrapping his arms around the David Parker case. Wouldn't you think?
No.
I mean, you gotta, is it because of the gay thing that nobody wants to touch it?
I think that's why it's not going there. Same with the Romney's actions on gay marriage and the unconstitutional implementation, which I know we'll talk about later.
Okay, well, let's start now.
One other thing I want to say, though, about the David Parker story, just to reveal a bit more Mitt Romney's character. About a year after David Parker's incident with his son happened, also in the same school, another couple of parents had a similar incident. Their boy came home told them that he was read a story about two princes getting married. King and King is the name of the book.
Yes.
Okay. Now, it just so happened that this couple was a fellow Mormon couple. So Romney was directly connected through his church, and they were in his district, in fact, whatever. So we thought, oh, this is great, because now, you know, the conservative Mormon parents are upset about this. Maybe he'll do something now.
Mitt Romney's a Mormon.
A Mormon. We thought, okay, this will activate him to do something. Well, it still didn't.
Now, what were their names?
The Worthlands. Robin Worthland.
Worthland, okay.
So they were in the same Lexington school district.
Didn't they join in on David Parker? Did they join in on David Parker's lawsuit?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Their second grade boy got read without their prior knowledge, King and King. So,
and that's a book which ends with the two princes kissing at the end.
The poor
prince, he can't find a princess that he likes. He doesn't like princesses. You know what? He likes princes.
Yeah, you got
and
it.
So he gets married to
that's
a prince
it.
At the end. What, you know, if just more kids, Amy, if more kids could be exposed to homosexuality, it might just solve all the problems in the world.
Well, that seems to be the thing. But here's what happened.
I'm being facetious, folks.
I know you are.
But I have to say that because there's always some serious personal. Peter LaBarber's advocating.
The governor still did nothing to enforce the law through his department. Okay?
No, so just no action.
No action at all. No action from him at all. Except, guess what? In late 2006, October 2006, the Family Research Council held this big nationally broadcast show called Liberty Sunday, and it was, you know, focused on how gay marriage was going to be threatening religious liberty,
yes,
blah, 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 which is, you know, perfectly valid point.
Yes.
Well, Romney was a star speaker there, and guess what he said? He said, due to the court ruling in Massachusetts, we now have children in the schools being read these horrible books, and there's nothing we can do about it, was basically what he said. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And at that same event, David Parker was a guest speaker, one of the featured speakers.
This
is unreal.
So
he's making the most of it for his presidential credentials, but he did nothing about it when he could.
But doesn't that, I mean, I used to work at Family Research Council. That's a little bit troubling that... I guess, you know, when you have an invite, you get accepted from somebody who's a prominent person like Mitt Romney. You're always willing to take it. But it seems like I just don't. It doesn't seem right that they. I mean, what do you think about that? That they gave this. That they gave Mitt Romney a venue when he'd actually done nothing really to help their cause.
There's a lot of upset over the fact that they did that, and they, well, pussyfooted around whether or not he was a good candidate last time around. But anyhow, all of that is documented with footnotes and, you know, all the sources in my book, if people want to read the details.
Yes. Okay, so folks, we're talking to Amy Contrada. Her book is Mitt Romney's Deception, His Stealth Promotion of Gay Rights and Gay Marriage, so-called, in Massachusetts. She also has two Kindle books, e-books. You don't need a Kindle to read them. One is called Romney versus Family Values. They're $5 each. Romney versus Family Values is one. The other one is How Gay Marriage Came to Massachusetts. You can get these at amycontrada.com. And, you know, all I can say is I'm reading this, her thick tome here, which is really an amazingly documented book. It's probably the leading book documenting the Massachusetts radical agenda. And it is radical, folks. Let me just show you here. I'm turning to page 269. There's a picture of what would normally appear to be like a man, but we're not sure what it is, or he or she. It's a guy. It says here's the caption: transgender. He's wearing a T-shirt.
I've got to see what's on page 269.
Okay, well, I'm going to read you the caption, Amy. Transgender and leather advocate. A leather advocate, because he's wearing the leather cap, at Youth Pride 2004. Whether this young person identifies as male, female, quote unquote, gender queer, which is another of these radical identities, or whatever, is completely his/her choice. And that may change, since gender is fluid.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with my captions.
Well, I mean, that's a classic case of what we're talking about here. No limits, folks. You're a girl. Hey, take some testosterone, grow a beard, have your breasts removed. You know what? Because breasts are superfluous anyway, if you want to be a man and you're born as a female. So, you know what? There is no gender. Gender is whatever you want it to be. You can identify as a female one day, male the next day, transgender the next day. How about a transgender lesbian on Thursday? This is the stuff of... If you could not make this up, if you sat in a room and said, how am I going to hurt the transgender movement or the radical gay movement?
This is what's so disappointing to us here in Massachusetts. I mean, I voted for Romney, okay? I thought Mormon values, great, family, traditional stuff. But he had all these occasions to make a national issue out of some of this extreme radical crazy stuff going on, whether it was the gay marriage issue, the constitutional issue, or what's going on in the schools with all of this stuff being pushed on the kids. But he missed every opportunity that he could. I don't think he had the courage to stand up or the conviction.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, Amy. Thank you so much. We're talking to Amy Contrada. Her website again, amycontrada.com. We'll be back with her on our next show. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.